Sports Desk, your 950 KJR Sports Headlines.
Yeah, buddy, here we go. 402 Headlines, 4 o'clock, always brought to you by our friends at Buddy's Goodies and Glass. It's always 420 at Buddy's.
Never in one time ever heard your radio show.
Where do you want to start? Baseball. Angels are cutting Albert Pujols. How about that? He's 2 months into the final year of his contract in Anaheim, hitting .198 with a .622 OPS, and the Angels said, let's just move on. He's got 667 home runs, is number 5 all-time in the history of the game, 3 MVPs. He's 41 years old.
41 yards!
And just got released by the Angels today. How about that?
The Jays have placed George Springer on the 10-day IL with a quad strain. Oh. Springer signed a 6-year, $150 million deal with Toronto in the offseason. He's played 4 games thus far this year.
You don't say.
The Lions, Frank Ragnow. Know that name? Their starting center.
Yeah.
4 years, $54 million deal. The highest paid center now in the NFL. And the Buccaneers, after drafting Kyle Trask with the 32nd pick in the first round last week, have re-signed backup quarterback Blaine Gabbert to a 1-year deal.
You mentioned the Lions. Well, 3 years ago, they drafted running back Kerryon Johnson in the second round.
Yeah.
Today, they cut him.
Wow.
And Colts defensive end Kwity Paye, the initial first-round pick, to sign, inking a 4-year deal worth $13.6 mil.
You don't say.
NHL, Capitals forward Tom Wilson was fined $5,000 by the NHL, by the in 3-2-1. Capitals forward Tom Wilson was fined $5,000 by the NHL for punching Rangers forward Pavel Buchnevich in the head. The Rangers criticized that decision, called for the firing of the NHL player safety head George Parros. In response to that criticism, the NHL has fined the Rangers $250,000. So one guy gets fined $5,000 for punching a guy while he's laying on the ice in the back of the head. The organization gets mad, and they get $250,000. So what sense does that make? This is all good stuff. We have to know this before the Kraken come to town.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And Tom Wilson, like, I almost see him, he's kind of a sympathetic figure right now. There's a lot of people that are kind of on his side. They're like, hey, man,
really,
throwback
what?
Dude. Throwback the 1970s,
he's
man.
A goon.
Total
he's a,
goon.
It's a Hanson brother.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
It.
We don't have
it.
Enough of that in sports anymore.
Well, you know, how excited are you to go to Kraken games and just watch fights, honestly, to see guys throw down? Because what other sport can you go do that in?
Yes.
You can't go to, I mean, look, every now and then you'll see a brawl or, you know, dugouts will empty, whatever, but not like in hockey. I mean, it's a part of the game. Maybe not as much as it was 10, 15 years ago, but it's a part of the game.
Well, what we saw last night, I had never seen before in NHL, minor leagues, what have you, when the puck drops in the beginning of the game, everyone
line
just dropped
right.
their sticks and slugged the guy next to him. It was unbelievable.
I think they should just change the rules. You get to overtime, game 7, Stanley Cup final, just have them fight. Right,
the last man standing wins
the Stanley Cup. Well, we talked about this earlier. Mike Holmgren's going to join us at 4:20. By the way, Tyler Lockett at 5:20 on the program.
You don't say.
And then we asked Dixon Fain. You asked Dixon Fain, your son. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, you and I had a conversation about how many star players, baseball players, the kids today could name off. You know, back in the day, we had baseball cards, we had stickers, all kinds of stuff. Remember the old sticker albums we'd collect back in the day?
I had a lot of those.
Mini helmets from Dairy Queen. We knew everybody. And I don't know if kids today even know who these guys are. So we challenged you to go home and ask your son how many baseball players he could name. Mm-hmm. And for every guy he named, I would give him $10. So we're going to find out at 5 o'clock today how big of a check I got
to
write.
See if you have to take out a loan, man. I mean, this could be problematic for you
Roll. Well, don't tell my wife. We talked about Scott Servais. You know, how influential has he really been on this franchise? Because I think all of us would agree the most important person right now is Jerry Dipoto, by far. The scouts he hires, the player personnel people that he hires, clearly important. But is a manager that important? And if he is important, you know, setting the tone for the team, by the way, the clubhouse, the atmosphere, is Scott Servais going to deserve to be on the job when this team starts to get good? And one thing I would ask you guys is this. When I think of a manager, and maybe I'm way off base on this, you tell me. The first thing I think of when I think of a manager in baseball is a strategist, right? A guy that's pushing the right buttons during a game. I don't think of, and I should think of it more, coaching. Because let's face it, that's what a manager is doing. He's coaching these guys to be better players. He's got position coaches that are coaching these guys to be better players. Scott Servais is obviously coaching these guys as well as strategizing during the games. So if he's not a great strategist, is he a great coach? Do you see guys getting better from year to year and month to month under Scott Servais?
Well, it's tough because I don't see these guys staying on the baseball team long enough to see whether they're getting better or not. I mean, Kyle Seager is a notable exception, but like, how many of the 25-man roster on this team right now was here 2 years ago?
Well,
like
when you
Marco
look at,
and Seager and Kikuchi? I mean,
guys like Justice Sheffield, guys like Justin Dunn, guys like J.P. Crawford, guys like Mitch Haniger. Mm-hmm. We can start to look at Evan White from last year to this year. I mean, there's a handful. There's not a million guys. I'll give it to you, but there's a good amount of guys that have been here for the last couple of years. So, look, I just want to see these guys get better. If they're not getting better at the major league level, then what's the point?
I just look at the list of major league managers, and you talk about, you know, we make fun of whether kids can name baseball players. I mean, how many major league managers can anybody name that isn't a hardcore, you know, Chuck Powell baseball fan? And the answer is very, very few. But I'm looking at these names, and man, I can't see more than three or four.
Yeah.
That if the Mariners hired them tomorrow, I'd be like, wow, that's a big move. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe Terry Francona, maybe Joe Maddon would do something for me. But, I mean, there's really, really few managers that I think, and that's why I guess Scott Servais is just as good as 90% of all the rest of them.
Well, that you know of. I mean, there could be an ex-player out there that gets into managing and hasn't even dipped his toe in the water yet. So, you know, look, I don't want to keep Dusty Baker. He's managing the Astros. I don't want to keep Scott Servais around just because there's nobody better. I mean, just judge him on his own merits. Mm-hmm. Is Scott Servais impressing you?
Scott Servais doesn't impress me, but I don't look at Scott Servais and say he doesn't know what he's doing either. So he's in that vast middle ground. Now, I do think it would kind of be unfair to hire Scott Servais and say, listen, Scott, we're tearing the franchise down. We're going to suck. And then as soon as we get good, obviously not tell him this part, but as soon as the Mariners get good, they're going to go find his replacement. I mean, you would think you would at least give Scott an opportunity where whether it's the second half of 2021, whether it's 2022, where Jerry DePoto comes out and publicly says, because he will, Jerry DePoto will publicly come out and say at some point, we're ready to win.
Yeah.
We're built and ready to win.
And then the pressure's on.
And then the pressure is on, and Scott Servais, in my opinion, should get 1 year with the pressure on. You got the talent. What are you going to do with it? And if he proves then in big-time, high-pressure situations that he doesn't push the right button, then it's time to go out and get somebody that's actually been to a World Series, maybe even won a World Series before.
Well, I think lots of guys are coaches during the rebuilding years, and they don't hang around. That happens all the time. In basketball, happens a lot in football. You know, Jim Mora, for example. Was Jim Mora not the head coach of the Colts when Peyton Manning was a rookie? Was he not there when he showed up and was not given the chance to see the fruits of that labor? So I got to be honest with you, whether it's fair or unfair, I could care less about fair or unfair.
That's true.
I want the right guy for the job. And if Scott Servais is not inspiring these guys, he's not coaching these guys up, he's not managing this baseball team correctly, then who cares? I mean, Scott Servais was doing nothing when the Mariners hired him. He had never managed a game in his life before the M's gave him a job. He should be thankful that Jerry DePoto called him because of his analytics background, his relationship with the numbers of the game that DePoto also agrees with. It's kind of a religion for those guys. So there was a fit there. And I'm not saying he's not the right guy. I'm just very curious to see when this team is ready to win, if Scott Servais is allowed to hang around, and if he is allowed to hang around, how long until the pressure is squarely on him to start delivering? Because the job of the GM, let's face it, it's not done, but it's getting almost done with this team. Yep. I would say heading into next year,
absolutely,
you absolutely should start to think this team can win games. 4-12, we're going to break. Mike Holmgren. Maybe Mike Holmgren wants to manage the Mariners. Next on 950 KJ.
And one app.
Hey, don't do that to me! Don't
give me that hand. Don't do that to me.
Your home for the 12th man presents Mike Holmgren.
Say on sprint option, if they rush that guy that wide, loaded, doesn't get it done. Go to something else.
Brought to you by Toyota of Kirkland. Check out their entire vehicle inventory at toyotaofkirkland.com or stop by their showroom and buy Redbox. Redbox has the newest movies fresh from the theater for under $2 a night. Go to the box or stream on demand.
This is what I had my little peewee guys, Pop Warner, when I start coaching, they can do it better than you guys. And I paid them in popsicles, not millions of dollars.
Now, Mike Holmgren on Seattle Sports Radio 950.
But you know what I mean.
Yeah, okay. You can't start it that way.
No, you can't, okay?
Yeah.
All right, because everyone's riding on your shoulders now.
KJR.
Every time we play this open, I walk away craving a damn popsicle. Every single time. I might just stop at the store. Pick
I can
up
get
a
one from here.
Box of
one.
Popsicles from your house?
Sure.
I'm not there right
kids.
Now.
Do you don't think I got popsicles?
When do you get in your car and come drop it off? Do something for your pal for once. Well, here he is joining us from the great city of Chicago, Illinois, helping his daughter. He's such a he's the dad of the year is what he is. Our friend Mike Holmgren. How are you?
I'm good, guys. How's it going?
It's good. What are you doing out there? Tell people.
Well, my daughter, Calla, is a doctor here in Chicago, and she just bought a house about a month, 2 months ago, and now this week we moved her in. She could move out of her other place and move into this house, and it's the furniture and the trucks and the stairs. It's a three-story, it's a lot of stairs, and I'm not that young anymore. So I'm working. I'm trying really hard to help. But Kathy and Cal are doing all the heavy lifting. Yeah. I'm just kind of supervising.
Why not? Why not just call a moving guy for him?
I know. the moving guys call in. I know. That's a good question. You know.
That just goes to show you how good a dad you really are. Because that's what I would do, to be honest with you. But whatever.
Well, I'll tell you what. The thing is now, every night the kitchen is not fully functional, so we have to order food out and have it delivered every night. You know. So in Chicago, that's pretty good because there are a lot of restaurants where she's in the city. She's right in the city, so there are a lot of restaurants around. So that's kind of fun.
Well, Coach, we talked to you last week just as the draft was getting going, and I think we were all in agreement that John Schneider was going to trade some picks and move down and get six draft picks, and lo and behold, we got three. How surprising was that, and are you okay with that?
Well, as it turns out, I am okay with it. It did surprise me, though, Dick, because that's not typically John's style, but I think the three of us had talked about it for a couple of weeks, that what we thought the needs were, and they touched on each need, in my opinion. You know, they got the corner, they got the wide receiver, and they got the tackle or the offensive lineman. Now, it's hard to imagine those guys coming in and making an impact right away, but the Seahawks are, you know, when you have a team that's really pretty good and has been good, there are not a lot of openings right away for rookies. And so, I trust John. He does a brilliant job of this stuff. But it was kind of different because the corner is not the typical corner that they like,
yep,
size-wise.
Yep.
But the receiver is kind of intriguing because he's so fast. I see him as being, an inside player. He was an outside player in college, but I see him as being an inside player. But it'll be interesting to see how those guys. It was a different year, and this draft for them was a different draft. So let's just write it off and see what happens.
Yeah, you mentioned Trey Brown, the first corner they've drafted that doesn't have those, you know, octopus-like 32-inch arms. I mean, was there anything behind that, or was that just the way it worked out, you think, this time? Or is that maybe a change in philosophy by them?
No, I think they went, Dave, I think they went with the best pick that they felt was there. And where in the past, the bigger guys that they've had there with the long arms and stuff, I have to say they've been, you know, other than Richard Sherman, you know, and they've been just okay, you know, because the league has also changed. And when they went to Super Bowls and dominated on defense, the rules on manhandling wide receivers seem to be a lot more relaxed.
Yep.
So those guys with the long arms, they just grab people. I mean, it was startling to me. But now it's not quite that way. So, and the other thing is, Jamal Adams, they bring him all the time. And if he's playing in the secondary, which he will, you know, he's one of their stars, they run different coverages. It's a different secondary type of operation than it was, say, 6 years ago. So So this guy might be a really good fit, you know, if he's you know, what they say he is.
Coach, they had the pick of the litter, basically. I think there's only one center that went in the draft before they picked in the second round, and they decided not to go there. Do you agree with that decision as far as the need they had at third wide receiver versus the need they had in the middle of the offensive line?
You know, I do, Dick. And I listen, the center position, you know, I just had dinner with Robbie Toback not too long ago, yep. Is very, very important. It's very, very important. But I'm not as down on Posick as some people are. I think he got a chance to go back to his original position from college after playing guard and so on. And then he was a center for the year. And yeah, he had his ups and downs, but now he's had a year under his belt. He's a big, strong guy. I kind of think he's going to be okay.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, I think they felt that. And so, an experience means a whole lot at that position. And so they felt they could go the other way with it. Yeah, I'm fine with it, honestly.
Do you believe that Ethan Posick will be a better football player just because Damian Lewis is in his second year and Gabe Jackson is now playing to his right?
That's the other thing, Dave. Good point. And I think that those three guys, you know, and again, I refer to my dinner I had with the offensive line that I had, because you had Hutchinson on one side, Chris Gray on the other, and Toback in the middle. And those three guys, the two guards, they have to do so many things together and in unison and in just together, that I think having another year under their belt, and I think Lewis is a fine player. I think it's going to be better in there inside.
I have a good idea how you're going to answer this next question, but I want you to answer.
Is it a hypothetical?
No, it's not a hypothetical.
Okay. If you were a pizza, what kind of pizza would you be?
just knowing you, Coach, I'm going to ask you straight out. Is it a good idea for DK Metcalf to run in a track meet, the 100-meter dash this weekend?
No. No, 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 no. Now, do you want me to say it again?
Yeah.
No.
Sure, what would you tell him?
I just say, come on, man. Why? Why are you doing that? Well, I want to show people I'm fast. Well, listen, I know you're fast. The people know you're fast. You know, the question I have is what hair color is he going to use during the sprint itself? You know,
mm-hmm. What if you could pick that? What if you could decide the hair?
Lightning bolts, man.
Would it make a difference then?
No.
Yeah.
No, I would veto that. But clearly, he wants to prove something. He's a spectacular athlete. We know that. We saw that. And he wants to do this. Listen, it's a different time. You know, Dick, you're asking me a question. You knew the answer because I'm old.
Right. Yeah, that's what we thought. We said, Dick and I said, you know, he's old, so this is what he'll say. So if Deion Sanders back in the day said, I'll play corner for you, but I also want to play baseball, would you let him?
Sure.
See?
I mean, that I don't think that, but to run, to insert myself in a some track meet, right, down, you know, no, I'm not going to do that.
Hey, what
I
do
mean,
you?
I mean, I couldn't stop it.
Right.
I would tell him, no, don't do that.
Well, if he blows his hamstring out, I think a lot of people are going to be disappointed, man. So,
oh, no.
We'll see. Let's just knock on wood. Hope he gets through the weekend fast and healthy. But Mike Holmgren's with us. And what do you make of the deal happening now in San Francisco in the Bay, where, you know, they're saying that Jimmy Garoppolo could be the starter for a couple years in front of Trey Lance? What do you think Garoppolo's attitude is going to be when he knows well and good they just drafted his replacement?
That's a tough one, because the only thing I could say is he probably, and most of the guys that play quarterback that I've ever been around, they're going to play. He's going to say, I'm going to show them. They drafted this young guy, but I'm going to show them. And if I have a good year and they want to bring him on, all that can do is make me more attractive to other teams. So, but is he going to be ticked off? Is he going to have a little edge to him down deep inside? Absolutely. I mean, think of it. Put yourself in his shoes. You know, what they're telling him is that, you know what, you're not good enough. We're going to draft this guy. You know, same thing when we drafted Favre and Don Majkowski. You know, I mean, you know, and that Don was a good guy, and I liked him. But you look at, you know, so it happens.
Would you want him to be a bridge quarterback? If you were the head coach of San Francisco right now, would you want him to be a bridge quarterback for a year? Or would you just say, you know what, it's probably better for us to just cut bait and start the rookie?
You know what, Dick? I always thought that, you know, and there's two schools of thought on this, that a young quarterback comes in and he can watch and learn and all that kind of stuff by sitting on the bench and letting it, you know. I didn't believe that. I thought it would be better if he's playing. He learns faster if he's playing. And then the year might not be quite as good, but he is going to be really much better his second year. And if I chose to do that, then I have to protect him. I have to make sure that I kind of help him very much as a first-year starter. Now, a lot of guys go, no, you know, we're going to let him learn, and the older guy is going to help the younger guy. And all, that's all, you know, that's all nice. That's really nice language and all that kind of stuff. But that's not the way it works, I don't think. These guys are competitive guys.
Yeah.
But the thing is, the young man they drafted, I think of all the quarterbacks that were in that pool,
mm-hmm.
I mean, he's a talented guy, but he is the least, he probably might be the least ready to come in and play.
I agree.
Because of the number of games he's played.
Yeah, he'll need more coaching maybe right away than the other guys. Totally agree with that. But Mike Holmgren is with us. So did you hear what Billy Bob, Brett Favre said? He did it again. Billy Bob's back in the news. Billy Bob can't keep his mouth closed.
Wait a minute, in the last couple days?
In the last 5 seconds, he's opened his mouth. It just keeps running. It's like a faucet that won't stop leaking.
No, I got to phone him.
Yeah, this is, you should call him. This is actually 2 days ago. Was it yesterday or 2 days ago?
I think maybe two yesterday. Days ago was Bradshaw yesterday, right?
Yeah, Bradshaw was a couple days ago. Yeah, for sure. But Favre told ESPN Wisconsin that he thinks Aaron Rodgers would rather sit out the year than play again for the Packers. You buy that?
Well, he might have some inside information. The Aaron Rodgers thing is just blowing my mind, I'll be honest with you. Hmm. If I was coaching there and then we had to go through something like this, I would have the player come in. I'd have Aaron come in. We'd spend all day together. It'd be like lockdown. And then if I couldn't get him to play and feel good about it, then you'd have to cut and go. You know, you have to cut and go. But I don't think what Brett said is going to happen. But he might know more than anybody because I think they talk. And he went through that. He went through that exact same thing with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
So, but goodness, he, you know what? It's interesting. Now, I don't know if they phone him up knowing they're going to get something good, if people phone him up. Because all of a sudden, I got to phone him. I got to phone him and say, like, Billy Bob, cool it a little bit. Come on.
I love
Dial
it.
Dial back.
Terry Bradshaw then called Aaron Rodgers weak, and they said the Packers should just let him cry. So where do you stand on that whole mess out there as far as, like, the culpability of how they got to where they are?
Well, you know what? I think, and Terry, heck, Terry and I were drafted the same year. He went a little higher than I did, but we were drafted the same year. So it's a different kind of mindset. But Aaron makes so much money, and I think guys in Terry's era, or my era, said, what are you, goodness gracious, you're playing for a contract for $35 million. What is the problem?
Mm-hmm.
And so I understand kind of what Terry was saying, but I don't get how it got this far. I really don't. But I think if I couldn't, as the coach, kind of reel him in and say, look, and kind of say, and then the front office, who's making the call? Mm-hmm. But in Green Bay, it gets a little tricky because there's no owner. You don't have some owner saying, hey, do this. You know, it's the head coach. When I was there, I had Ron Wolf. And a lot in when McCarthy was there, I think he got to make the calls, but they had Ted Thompson. I don't know how they're doing it now. Yeah. But if I would say, okay, Aaron, you're either playing. I mean, I want you to play, you know, and I would play. I would go to if I had a quarterback like that, I'd go to the front office of the decision makers and go, we got to have this guy.
Yeah.
2 years. The draft choice can just wait. He can just wait.
Right. But Bradshaw came out and insinuated. We're going to look for the clip. Jackson's going to try and find it because I want you to hear. Did you hear what Bradshaw said, Mike, yesterday?
No.
Okay, I'm going to try to find the clip and play it for if we can. But I think Terry is thinking that Aaron Rodgers is nervous that Jordan Love is going to take his job as the starting quarterback, which is ridiculous. obviously.
No, that's not going to. What
Rodgers is upset about is the lack of help they've given him in the draft. I mean, they've drafted of their first and second picks in the last 10 years, so 20 picks overall, they've drafted defensive players with 15 of the 20. Only three of them were skill players, and two of them were A.J. Dillon and Eddie Lacy, by the way.
Yeah.
So they've given this guy nothing. So I guess my question is, does Rodgers have a right to kind of gripe a little bit that, man, you haven't surrounded me with anything?
I think he absolutely does have, on one hand, a right to gripe about that. No, but he's a really bright guy. He's a very, very cerebral, bright guy, aside from being a good football player. And so, you know, he would analyze that just like we would and say, come on, man, help me out a little bit here. You know, and you have to understand in an organization – you have to understand who your stars are, how you're going to do that, how you're going to keep them happy a little bit. You know, it's tough love. Sometimes you bang them around. But basically, listen, you got a guy like that.
Right.
You've got to kind of understand him and understand where he's coming from. Aaron Rodgers, you know, it's hard to imagine a guy bailing out on a $35 million contract because it's a different time now. You know, I'd say, look at either you're going to play at this or you're going to retire. What are you going to do? You know, if after the coach had his say with him and really tried to get him back in the fold.
We've got the clip, Coach. So we'll have Jackson play it for you. Here's Terry Bradshaw.
With him being that upset shows me just how weak he is. Who the hell cares who you draft? I mean, he's a three-time MVP in the league, and he's worried about this guy they drafted last year at number one. Now, I don't know what was said behind the scenes. I don't know if he said, look, I'll play this year, and then I want out of here, and they said, fine. Then he's the MVP in the league. I don't know. None of us know, unless he told some insiders, and they're saying if I don't hear it. And for him to be upset, my God, I don't understand that.
Well, there you go. And that, to me, again, sounds like a guy that thinks that Aaron's upset that he thinks he's going to get beat out by Jordan Love. And I guess I would also ask this. Do you know Terry Bradshaw at all? Because he's done this before. Hugh, when he was on the air with us, was it yesterday or 2 days ago, read off a laundry list, Mike, of quotes from Terry Bradshaw where he's ripping quarterbacks, including Peyton Manning in the NFL. What crawled up his backside?
Well, Terry, no. Yeah, I know Terry a little bit. And he's an entertainer. He's a celebrity. He's a movie star. You know, oh gee. So, but he played quarterback for the Steelers. You know his numbers and all that. But he's in the Hall of Fame, and he did a lot of great things for them. But I think you read that wrong. To my way of thinking,
I agreed.
Aaron Rodgers doesn't care about it. You know, Jordan Love. He cares about what you said, Dave. But okay, you can get Jordan Love. Okay, which means okay, the kid. The Jordan Love might be ready in 2 years. I got two more years in Green Bay, 3 years. I can understand that. I would talk to him about that decision before making it. But then, look at you could get a quarterback, a college quarterback next year or the year after that. But in the meantime, let's funnel in some offensive talent here,
right?
And let's go. You know, that's what I think he's maybe touched his nerves a little bit, not the fact that he's drafted a young quarterback.
No, I totally agree. All right, listen, man, enjoy Chicago. This is technically your last official visit of the spring, but you better be prepared that we're going to be bugging you a lot for some freebies over the summer.
It's very hard. I hope you guys have a nice baseball season.
I love it.
Listen, miss you guys. All right.
Thanks, Coach.
Good stuff. Mike Holmgren with us. We'll have him on again. He's not going anywhere. You know what? He could be on Monday for all we know. He answers to us. When we want him on, he says yes. That's the way this relationship works. We're going to break. Textimonials, Dixon Fain. We offer to give him $10 for every current Major League Baseball player he could name. You've set the over-under at 4.5. Where do you guys think he'll be? We're going to play that for you at 5 o'clock. How many baseball players can an 11-year-old kid who was born and raised in a city where the team has sucked forever name at 5 o'clock on 950K?
Excludes freezes. coming to you live from the Elliott Avenue studios of Sports Radio 950 KJR. This is Textimonials.
LOL, semicolon, parentheses.
Take it away, Dave Softy Mahler and Dick Fane.
I'm very excited about next segment. I mean, I'm excited about this segment, too, but I'm very excited about next segment. Yesterday, we got to talking somehow, some way about how popular baseball was with kids these days. And so I asked you, can you go home and get your 11-year-old son and ask him on a mic how many baseball players he can name? For every player he names, I'll give him $10. I cannot wait to see how he
did. A very befuddled look when I walked him to his room, because we always do the DPIs in his bedroom. It's like a nice, quiet space, doors closed. And I start walking up the stairs with him after he got home from school with my phone. And he's like, what are we doing? I go, we got to record something. He said, no. It's not football season.
Why are you bothering me? I'm off the clock. Well, we'll find out. The over-under has been set at 4.5. Jackson, what do you think? Over-under 4.5.
I have to think over.
Over?
11
okay.
years old?
Yeah, I would think at least he can name five
Watch
guys.
Watch is enough.
If he can't name five guys, then somebody should call Rob Manfred and say, your game is in trouble. If he can't name five guys.
Because he is a sports fan.
Yes.
I mean, this is not, you know, as far as comparing him to normal kids his age, he is way on the sports fan side of the spectrum.
49451, Coors Seltzer text line, brought to you by our friends at hammerandnail.build. What do you got?
With Albert Pujols, his numbers would be leading our team right now.
Pujols.
Pujols. That's how Texas says Pujols. Would they be? He's hitting a .998 with a .622 OPS. How many guys on this roster have a better than .620? You know what? You're a smart ass, man. Don't be texting smart ass stuff to the show.
Yeah.
This is a serious deal here. Think this is a game, for God's sakes?
Mitch Haniger, easily better OPS. Kyle Seager, Ty France.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's three guys. How about that?
I think they should do a Ty France night at the ballpark, and they give out Mariner-themed underpants.
Mariner-themed underpants? Oh, France in your pants?
Oh, my God.
There's a man in France? What are you talking about?
I see Paris, I see France.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, yesterday it was from under, and now it's underpants in Paris.
I kind of got the gist of what you were talking about.
I'm going to buy you a subscription to what's the website, urbandictionary.com. And it's free, and I'll give you $5 to check it out. All right, what's next?
Scott Cervais is like Eddie Murphy in Trading Places.
Ooh.
I think you can hang with you guys for a while.
Well, I like the Eddie Murphy character in Trading Places, where he's posing as the Vietnam veteran who can't walk, and the cops lift him up, and all of a sudden his legs are extended. It's a miracle! It's a miracle! I don't know. Maybe he'll end up being Dan Aykroyd pulling a salmon out of a Santa suit by the time it's all said and done.
Who's a better manager? Yeah. Scott Servais?
Or a dead guy?
Or Scott Cervais?
Take the dead guy.
Because Texty says Scott Cervais.
I know. He also says Pujols.
This guy here is dead.
Cross him off then.
All right, what's next?
My dad used to say, we went to a fight and a hockey game broke out.
I can't wait. I cannot wait for the first big fight. I can't wait for the Kraken to develop some individual rivalries with other players. Not just franchises, because I assume there's going to be one with the Canucks. And was it Everett who had the great idea of let's open the schedule with the Kraken and Canucks in Seattle? Game 2's up there in Vancouver.
Yeah,
I can't wait to see what players start to develop some real nasty personal rivalries like Wilson has around the NHL. It'd be great.
I was first given the first look at hockey fights at Thunderbirds games, and the fans, the true blue hockey fans, their eyes turn red. They have this just look of just furor on their face when there's a hockey. It's unbelievable. I was like scared to be in the crowd because the fans get just as pissed off as the players do during a fight.
I see Paris, I see France, I see Ty's underpants. You get it now? I mean, how great an idea is that? How about a Mariner-themed underpants night just for Ty France? Somebody's got to do it. If I were in charge, it'd happen, which is why I'm not in charge. All right, good.
Tom Wilson is a top-line forward who has won a cup, much more than a goon. Hopefully the Kraken can bring some of that flavor to roster next fall.
Well, he's also the one of the most intimidating guys in the NHL. He's also got a reputation, obviously. But I think that when a guy like that comes to town, I can't wait to see the reaction of the Kraken faithful at the arena. I think a guy like that coming to town could be a huge draw for a team like the Kraken. And they're not going to have to worry about draws because they'll sell out every game. The question is, how long will that last? How long will the novelty last before they have to start winning games to get sellouts every single night? Couple years, three years.
Yeah. But as far as Tom Wilson goes, he's got the whole country talking about the NHL during the regular season.
I think it's awesome.
It is.
You know who needs a guy like that? Baseball.
Yeah.
Baseball needs a guy like that. All right, what's the prediction for Dixon Fane? How many baseball players can he name next segment?
I'll say over 5 players for Dixon Fane.
Okay, all right, we'll
confidence
see.
Confidence in the kid.
We'll see. The way that you've set this up, I'm not really feeling much confidence coming
out of you.
I'll
try to keep it nice and down the middle because I don't want you to know.
Maybe he'll shock me. I mean, I guess my question is, should I call my stockbroker and tell him to sell some Amazon to pay the kid off? We'll find out. We asked Dixon Fane how many baseball players he could name off the top of his head. Does an 11-year-old have any idea what's happening in Major League Baseball? We're going to find out next. The over-under has been set at 4.5. We'll get an answer in a few minutes right here on